First of all, I'd like to thank God for his mercies, for his grace. God is great God, and I just can't say enough good things about what God has done for me. And, you know, I just want to say, thanks to the pastor for sharing the pulpit today, and I thank the Family Life Department for just giving me the opportunity to get up here. And you know, I really want to take this time to just tell the congregation. I'm just thank the congregation just for being who you are. I love you all. If I don't get a chance to say that often, I'll just tell you, I love you all. And I really, really thankful to God for my upbringing. I see my father sitting out there, you know, and I remember when I was a young guy, and one of the things, even though I didn't have my head on straight, one thing I always prayed for and always wanted to do, you know, even before I was too young to understand that, you know, I wanted to follow in the path of my Heavenly Father, I knew that I wanted to be a family man like my father. You know what I mean? My father took care of his family. My father had 8 children, and he took care of his family. And I was always thankful for that. And, you know, one of the things that I looked at the template for the family life that I grew up in is that, you know, my mother went to sleep in Jesus. But, you know, I was very thankful for my mother. And you know, my parents had a great bond. And you know, and I just said, you know, if God could give me a wife, a good wife, you know, and then, you know, I could be the kind of family man my father is, you know. And God gave me my wonderful wife, yes, you know. And I'm thankful for it. And of course, we have lovely children and lovely grandchildren and everything. And I'm thankful. And I just wanted to say that. And God is so good, and his mercy endureth forever. It's so nice to have so many people in the house today, in God's house, the veterans. I like the statement that was read about the blank check. And, you know, I just wanted to add one thing to that. We have Veterans Day, and I'm so thankful for all the veterans that made it. Because later on, next year when we have a Memorial Day, we look at the ones that did not make it. You know, and the phrase, all gave some, and some gave all, has widely been attributed to Korean War veteran and Purple Heart recipient Howard William Osterkamp from Denton, Ohio. He served in C Company, 5th Regimental Combat Team of the United States Army from 1951 to 1953. You know, and right now, and I heard that some of them, some people were drafted, and you know, right now we have an all-volunteer armed forces, which includes the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and the Coast Guard. It's wonderful that people actually signed up, whether you signed up or whether you was drafted and reported, because that all people that were drafted did not report, you know, for duty. But you served, and one thing that I understand, and I know we should be thankful for your service, because this freedom is not free. It's not free. So today, I want to say thank you to the veterans Shall we pray? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, dear Father, for this your holy Sabbath day. We thank you, dear Father, for the opportunity to come together and to give you praise. And we thank you, dear Father, for the men and women that served in uniform. And we ask you, dear Father, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive for your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The truth of the matter is that many join the armed forces for different reasons. But there is no way of discounting the fact that war could happen at any given time, and those in uniform could very easily be called to go. And to be quite honest, when we look at the Bible and Revelation 12, I'm gonna look at Revelation 12 and verse 7, we really find out that war started in heaven. And there was war in heaven. The Bible reads, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. So war was something that began in heaven. And it led to this great controversy that we're caught up in the middle of. And not only does this great controversy take place on a universal stage, but this great controversy takes place in each and every person's mind. And I want you to understand that it's common, it's a war, you're at war. And I'm telling you, the victory has already been won. Amen. And what you have to do, you have to just persevere. Yes. You have to persevere because Jesus Christ has won the victory for us. Now, America has been at war pretty much from the start of America, to be quite honest. The United States at war, according to the Fact Monster, says that the Revolutionary War was from 1775 to 1783. The War of 1812, of course, 1812 to 1815. And we had the Mexican War from 1846 to 1848. And the Civil War from 1861 to 1865. Now, all wars weren't that long. The Spanish-American War was just 1898. And, of course, we had World War I from 1917 to 1918. That was the United States' involvement in that war. It actually started in 1914. World War II, 1941 to 1946. That's the United States' involvement. That war actually started in 1939. The Korean War, 1950 to 1953. The Vietnam War, 1961 to 1975. You know, the Vietnam War was a big thing when I was coming up. I mean, from my time in elementary school to throughout school, I was always hearing about the Vietnam War, meeting people that had gone to Vietnam, people that had come back from Vietnam. And I mean, it was big. And then we had the Persian Gulf War in 1991, the Afghanistan War in 2002, and the Iraq War in 2003, 1 year apart that started. Now, you know, I was reading about a young man, 18 year old that's being sent to Afghanistan to serve in a conflict that began around the time of his birth. Private Hunter Nines. And Private Hunter said, I didn't have a lot of thoughts on Afghanistan in particular. I honestly just had the notion of what I wanted to serve, and wherever that is, I'll go. There are many other military operations, wars that the U.S. was involved in, indirectly involved in, including what is, I really apologize for the state of the United States right now and some of the things that's going on. It's kind of sad. The Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has led to the current impeachment crisis. Who knows what's going to happen there? But I just want to say, when I served back in the 80s, the big thing was the Soviet Union was the enemy. I would like to be able to stand here and tell you that I signed up as a conscientious objector and all this stuff. It's not true. I was young, I'm 19 years old. I went in and they taught me war. They taught me how to kill. And I'm telling you, they was the enemy, and that's the way we looked at it. And I'm just saying, I'm just looking at this thing right now, and it saddens me to see that this is an affront on democracy. You know, and we ask the question, war? What war? I mean, we say, what is it good for? You know, but I tell you, you know, that's a question that's always been asked. You know, and it's always something about war, something that the people that are fighting the war have nothing to do with, really, to be quite honest. Veterans, we salute you today for your combat readiness during your time of service. We realize that freedom is not free. Thank you. Thank you. And you know, and I just want to say this thing, the protests. You know, it seems like someone's always protesting about something. Always. The protest actually is a basic American freedom that is a derivative of the United States Constitution. The First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging free speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition to government for a redress of grievances. Now, riots, I have no respect for riots, but protests, if something is wrong, okay, and something needs to be said, somebody needs to say it. And I don't have any problem with that, and that's what our veterans, that's what we fought for. We fought for the freedom of speech, okay? Redress of grievances and laws, religion, free speech, free press, peaceably to assemble, petitions to address grievances. We know about the many assorted atrocities in America's history. Genocide, slavery, Jim Crow laws, redlining, police brutality. You know, about police brutality, I would say something about that. One of the things I realize, sometimes I hear people say, it's really sad to see somebody gunned down by the police for little or nothing, okay? And a lot of times I hear people ask the question, well, I mean, couldn't they just shot him in the leg or couldn't they just shot him in the arm? This, that, no. I'm going to tell you something. When I trained on a rifle range, when they taught us to shoot center of mass. It's not no trying to shoot the arms, not trying to shoot no legs. Not, you shoot center of mass. That's just how it is. But it's a shame to see it used the wrong way. In fact, you know, I'm not in favor of taking people's lives. It's just not a good thing. But police brutality has been a big problem in America. Disparaging justice, actually in America, a dual justice system. And just to see what's going on with the border crisis, we know it's rough. We know. But when does it end? You know, the protests, according to Newsmax, I listen to certain politicians sometimes. Of course, some I agree with. Sometimes some I don't agree with. And a lot of times I look at and I listen to the things that they say. And one of them, I have a couple quotes for you from a lady, Condoleezza Rice. She was on CBS's Sunday Morning Show a couple of years ago, and she was discussing a book, her book. And her book is entitled Democracy, Stories from the Long Road to Freedom. And she said, even though I didn't agree with her politics, I always respected her because she's a very intelligent woman. We forget in the United States how long it has taken us to make we the people mean people like me. She referred to the civil rights movement of the 1960s as the second founding of America. And indeed, I do think, she said, America was born with a birth defect, and it was slavery. This is the same America that Donald Trump says, make America great again. What really is America? This is something that every Christian needs to know. America has risen to heights that no other nation in the history of the world has accomplished in regards of influence, wealth, and military prowess. America is the only nation to ever use nuclear power in war. Yes. How has America gotten away with such? Can America be stopped? And the answer to these questions you find in prophecy. And I'm going to tell you something, and be a former soldier, it's good to be on the winning side. It's good to be on the winning side. I mean, I'm just saying to have the military might that we had behind us, you know, it's actually a comforting feeling, you know. And one of the sayings that we had in the military is, we own the night, okay? And that's when the United States wanted to actually attack, and because of the superiority that we have. Now, Revelation 13, verse 11, our scripture reading. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now the fact that it talks about another beast was a hint to us, letting us know that there was a first beast. There was a first beast, and this power that this first beast had, that the second beast is going to start exercising, is something that, as Christians, I think we ought to know. And I'm going to tell you, it's a lot to it. It's a lot to it, and I'm going to break down some of it. But I remember when I was young, I was a teenager, I was in church, and We had this elder. I mean, he was a very, very good teacher. He was good, and he was preaching a sermon on the 2300 days prophecy. And after he had spoke for about an hour, okay, he told the deacons to go downstairs and get the chalkboard, you know, because he was going to start writing stuff down, and he was going to start. I'm like, I'm not going to do that to you today. Okay, I tell you, I know we're used to short sermons, and I'm not going to break with that tradition. Don't worry. I'm not going to be long here today. But I'm telling you, this stuff is a lot to this. It's a whole lot to it, and I don't have time to go through all of it right now. And that's what I'm asking you to do as Christians. I'm asking you to pick up your Bible and study about these two beast because it's very important to understand what the Bible has to say about them. Now, America, a lamb. And it says in verse 11, remember it says, he had two horns like a lamb and he spake as a dragon. Now, when we think about a lamb, what are the things that come to mind? You might think of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus Christ coming and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Okay, so a lamb is an innocent creature. Jesus Christ did no wrong to anybody at any time. Okay, but he came to eradicate sin out of the world. So what do we have? We have a lamb. That's a young sheep. Okay, in America, a young nation. Okay, we have two horns. And now, this is the beautiful thing about America. And no other nation that I know of has been like this. America was founded on two principles. And those two principles are religious liberty and civil liberty. Those are the two horns. Okay? I'm breaking this down to you just a little bit. Because I need you to study this. Because I need you to be to understand what's going on? Why so much violence here? Why the devil has picked America to cause so much trouble? And I know it's trouble in other parts of the world, but I'm just saying, the earth. Why did the beast come out of the earth? Okay? Not a crowded landmass. Back in those days, there were people here, yes. But over in the old world, what they called it, it was crowded. I mean, people just shoulder to shoulder. It was a lot of free space here. And John 1:29. I just mentioned this, but the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Revelations 21 and verse 1 says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I want to share Luke 10, 17 through 20 with you. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. I'm telling you, the victory has been won. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Yes, we do not have to take stuff from the devil. Okay, I don't care what anyone tells it. I remember Flip Wilson running around talking about the devil made me do it. No, the devil don't make you do nothing. Okay? Because the Bible just tells us, we just read it right here in the Bible, we have power. Okay? Give it to us from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to have the victory over all manner of sin. The sea beast. Let's talk about the sea beast for a minute, because the sea beast is important. The The sea beast refers to Daniel 7 and political powers that rose and fell. It's a little bit of history of the world. Babylon, the lion. If you're looking at the sea beast in Revelation 13, beginning with verse 1, it describes the sea beast. Medo-Persia was represented by a bear, and Greece was represented by a leopard, and pagan Rome as a dragon. And I'm going to turn to Revelation 13, and I'm going to read, start with verse 1 so you get a clear description of it. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And we know who the dragon is, right? It told us clearly the dragon is that old serpent, okay, which is Satan, which is the devil, okay? That's important. And what we need to understand about the sea beast is we need to be able to identify the sea beast so that we can identify the land beast and we can put the connection together about these two beasts, okay? And I mean, and I told you about America being established on two great principles, civil liberty and religious liberty, okay? Now, 7 points of identification of the sea beast, okay? Power and authority comes from the dragon. That's the sea beast. The sea beast would rule for 1,260 years, or that could be expressed as 42 months. Now, I'm telling you this because I want you to understand that this time period and this thing about history. The Bible is very redundant. It talks about things over and over and over. And it gives it to you one way, then it turns around and gives it to you another way. Okay? And these are the two phrases that you'll see. 1,260 years, sometimes you'll see 42 months. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. I want you to understand that. Now, the sea beast speaks blasphemy against God. It persecutes the saints, number 4. Number 5, it received a deadly wound. The deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So what I can say about that is study, study, and study. And when you study, and I'm going to give you a couple of things to look at, a couple of things to look at. Look at the reformers. Look at the reformers. Martin Luther, John Calvin, and some of the others. Okay, now, I know most people would understand who Martin Luther is. Martin Luther took 95 theses and nailed it to the door of the Catholic Church. Okay? This is an important thing that I want you to look at. The Roman question. The Roman question. Read about the Roman question. Understand exactly what the Roman question is. Okay? Vatican City. Vatican City is very pertinent to this. Now, study Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. Let me tell you something about Vatican City. Vatican City is the world's smallest, fully independent nation state. I'm going to say that again. It's the world's smallest, fully independent nation state, the form of government, papacy, the population, 800. That's an estimate as of 2013. So, I mean, give or take, a little more than 800, a little less than 800. Total area, 0.17 square mile. You getting this? Or 0.44 kilometers. One of the things that I like about studying the Word of God is that, you know, I run into a lot of people. We have a lot of conversations. We talk about the Word of God. We talk about different things. One of the standard answers I have to people, okay, is that you read this in the Bible. Because when I talk to them and they turn around and they say, well, Brian, you said such and such, you said such and such, this, that. Now I say, no. I always have them read certain things from the Bible. So they can't come back and say that I said such and such. No, I didn't say that. You read that in the Bible. Okay, you got me? I had a college professor that he used to tell us, look, we're going to talk about a lot of things in class. We're going to talk about all kinds of things in class, but the course is based on the book. Okay? And I need you to understand that the course is based on the book. Christianity is based on the book. He says, at the end, I'm going to give you a final exam. And sometimes I have people come back and they say, hold up, you know, we never talked about that in class. He said, I'm going to have a standard answer. I'm going to tell you, it's in the book. So, and what he was telling us is that you have to read the book. What I'm telling you today, and the book is the Bible, for Christianity, you have to read the book. And not only read the book, but we talk about reading the book, you have to study the book. You have to study the book. The actual mirror effect, as we're talking about the two beasts. Now, let's just talk about mirrors for a minute. The mirrors are funny. Mirrors can be funny. I talked about Flip Wilson a little earlier, but Flip Wilson also used to talk about, he used to play this role as Geraldine. And what he claimed, he said, he always said, Geraldine would say, what you see is what you get. Okay, and the point that he was making in today's life, this is what they say, is keep it 100%. Okay, keep it 100%. We're talking about what you see and then what you get. Now, Michael Jackson used to sing a song, and he said that if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. And he said he was talking about looking at the man in the mirror. Another thing about a mirror, another expression about the mirror, another singer. Diana Ross, she sang chapter 1. When I was young, I came to you with my problems. Chapter 2, you promised me love and anything that I desired. Tell me, mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall. Thought you said you had the answer to it all. Never told me I was going to take a fall. Tell me, mirror, mirror on the wall. And I'm asking you, this is the question, does a mirror talk? She's talking to the mirror. She's looking for an answer from the mirror. Okay. Anybody remember, I don't know how many, some of you might be old enough to remember a Viewmaster. You know the Viewmaster, you click the little thing? Some of the too young. Viewmasters had beautiful pictures. Beautiful pictures. Little fairy tales, you put a little reel in it, and you look at these fairy tales. And one of the things I remember, I remember one fairy tale. It was this this pretty, real pretty, wicked queen. And she became very angry because she used to ask the mirror every morning, you know, who's the fairest in the land? And every morning the mirror would tell her, that you're the fairest in the land, until one day she asked that mirror, and the mirror told her that Snow White was the fairest in the land. She became angry. She wanted to kill Snow White. So she set out to kill Snow White. So what I'm asking you and what I'm telling you, even though we're looking at the mirror, we're talking about the man in the mirror, we're talking about the stories that the mirror tells, we talk about the mirror, whether it tells the truth, whether it lies. Does a mirror lie? The mirror, basically, for the most part, tells the truth. Yes. Now, I know we have amusement parks, and amusement parks, you go to amusement parks, and sometimes they have these little rooms, and they have all these little exhibits, and they have these mirrors, they have this trick mirrors. You look in this one mirror, and it makes you look tall and slender. At this point, I like that one. But then they have another mirror, you look in that mirror, and it makes you look short and stout. You know, I didn't like that one too much. But the fact of the matter is the mirror. You know, for the most part, we depend on mirrors to reveal our appearance to us. We might need to make some adjustments or something or whatever, just whatever. We look in the mirror. And you know, I know sometimes, seriously, you see somebody and you see certain things and you wonder, I mean, is there something wrong with their eyesight? Did they have a mirror? Were they able to look in the mirror? We don't have that problem here. I'm looking at the congregation. Everybody looked in the mirror this morning. Everybody looking good. You made whatever adjustments you need to make. That's the thing. The mirror. So, does the mirror lie? No. Basically, for the most part, no. The fact is that the mirror effect is going to be revealed in America. Does the mirror lie? No. Does the Bible lie? No. The second beast is going to see the first beast in the mirror. And it's no magic. It's not fake. It's no mistake. It's prophecy. It's in the book. It's in the book. I promise you, I wasn't going to be long. We have a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that tells us in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay. The great controversy. Okay. We're at war. Sound the battle cry. I do thank the veterans. I thank you for everything you did. I thank you for your presence here today. But I thank Jesus Christ more than any, okay, for fighting the battle for us, for making himself available to us so that we can win the victory. Okay, the victories we have. Sign me up. When Jesus comes, oh, the trumpet will sound loud. When my Savior comes, all the saints in Christ shall rise. Oh, I'm glad I've been changed since he lifted me. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. You know not the day nor the hour he shall appear, but we know in our hearts that he's coming back again. My heart is fixed and my mind is made up. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Sign me up for the Christian Jubilee. Write my name on the roll. I've been changed since the Lord has lifted me. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I want you to be ready. When Jesus comes, I want you to understand these couple of little points that we made about the first beast and the second beast. I want you to understand the correlation between them, and I want you to understand what it means when it says that the second beast is going to exercise the power of the first beast. I want you to be able to understand all of those points, okay? And the only way you're going to do it, the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you study the Word of God, okay? I want to tell you, I'm done here. And I just want to say that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. Okay? And all he asks is for you to open up and let him in. Don't leave our Lord and Savior standing there waiting for you. He can only wait so long. Okay? Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. Open the door to your heart and let Jesus in.